Skagway officials make room for tiny houses, and library funding and senior benefits are back in the state budget for now. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. The legislature agreed on an FY17 state budget on Tuesday with some key funding restored, including 100% of the Online with Libraries program. The nearly $762,000 in funding for OWL was axed completely at earlier budget committee sessions, but this week the legislature passed a plan that restores all of the library money. The program keeps rural libraries and residents connected to the rest of the world. Debbie Gravel is a library assistant in Haines. She says the news came as a huge relief.
It will make a huge difference, and it will help immensely. I mean, OWL has been a wonderful program, and it's been so great for rural libraries. I mean, there are certain libraries up in the bush, not necessarily us, who were just going to have to close down. It was so important to their function and to their population.
The state program covers about 20% of the internet costs for small libraries in Alaska, with the federal government picking up almost all of the rest through its E-rate program. The federal money, which adds up to more than $3 million, hinges on that state support. According to the state, libraries pay about 2% of the broadband costs. Currently, 40 communities rely on that state and federal funding for their internet service. Even more towns, including Skagway, use OWL for video conferencing and to access classes and online training.
For us to be able to provide free Wi-Fi, to be able to afford in our budget our public access computers, which we have 7 that people, you know, patrons and guests can get online, this has made it affordable for us.
Gravel says the service provides a comfortable, affordable spot for locals to do everything from banking to shopping, and it allows visitors to check in with family and friends back home.
We all know when we travel, there's always going to be something you need to do or you need to change. And so, yeah, being able to get online is really important. And, you know, and sometimes I think even if they have devices, even if they're willing to pay, they're not quite sure where to go. The library is very visible, and you know, almost everyone knows. It's the first place I go if I need to get online and I'm traveling, it's the library. I think it's become an expectation.
Kim Baxter is the librarian at the Craig Public Library. She says she was thrilled when she heard the news. Since the library is the only place for free internet service in Craig, a lot of people in town use it for job searches, recertification, and online training.
You don't have to buy a $6 orange juice to use it.
Last month, an online petition to restore funding garnered 1,200 signatures from across the state. Baxter says they were coming up with a contingency plan just in case the program was cut.
We would have gone back to not dial-up because that's not an option, but pretty restricted service. No classes and no heavy downloads, and so it had just been checking email, and then whenever our limit was up at the end of the month, we were just going to shut it off until the next month.
Another contentious cut that's safe for now is money for the senior benefits program. The recent budget agreement restores $5.14 million. Almost 12,000 Alaskans aged 65 or older receive the state money through the senior benefits program. There are 3 tiers of senior benefits. Those eligible who fall in the highest income bracket used to receive $125 monthly. That's the portion that as of March 1st got cut to $47. The income limits for each payment level are dependent on the Alaska Federal Poverty Guidelines and change each year as that level changes. According to the Division of Public Assistance, 49 Haines residents and 1 in Skagway utilize the program. Sierra Jimenez is the development director at Southeast Alaska Independent Living in Haines. She says the restoration of funds to these social service programs is good news, but it's still unclear how that $5.1 million will get distributed within the senior benefits program.
What I was hearing from people is they depend on that money to pay their bills, to live, to stay warm. And so it's huge. This potentially is great news, and hopefully all the levels will be restored to what they were, but nobody knows for sure.
Jimenez says other money that directly affects SAIL, like senior community-based grants and senior disability services, also got restored.
There's some other really amazing things that happened. Personal care assistance for people who need personal care living at home, that was restored. Alaska Heating Assistance Program, they had $9.2 million restored. There was a lot for people.
Governor Bill Walker has a couple of weeks to sign off on the FY17 budget with the option to veto portions of it. The Skagway Borough Assembly approved relaxed regulations for accessory housing at its Thursday meeting. Officials hope the more flexible standards will help with the town's housing shortage. The Assembly also agreed to work toward purchasing a popular piece of land on Long Bay, and they lodged no protest against a fledgling marijuana cultivation business. KHNS's Emily Files has more.
The relaxed standards for accessory housing are part of the municipality's effort to make tiny houses a more viable option in Skagway. Orion Hansen sits on the Planning Commission, which recommended the code changes.
We have a lot of less than standard rental units out there right now, and so we're hoping this will encourage people to develop decent housing, but it can also be very small in the tiny housing line of the school of thinking.
Hansen explained the revisions remove a requirement for each housing structure to have its own water sewer hookup, an expense that might make building a tiny house unaffordable. Planners also recommended reducing the required time period a primary dwelling has to be in place before secondary housing is built, from 5 years to 3 years. The waiting period isn't required if the accessory housing is for an immediate family member of the main building occupant. The Assembly unanimously approved the code revisions. Here's Assemblymember Spencer Morgan.
I think it addresses a need of summer housing, and it does it in a way where the summer housing is not going to be substandard.
Much of the public comment at Thursday's meeting was related to another topic. People spoke in support of Skagway purchasing scenic property on Long Bay to keep it for public use. The land is owned by the family of deceased resident Bud Matthews. Residents say Matthews let the public use the beach on his property, and they don't want to lose that space. Here's Jan Rentmore.
It's part of Skagway's heart and soul. There are just a few spots around this valley that are important to people, and I think that's really one of them.
The Assembly has held two executive sessions to discuss the potential property purchase. At the end of the closed-door meeting Thursday, they voted to direct the borough attorney and manager to work toward purchasing the Matthews property with the goal of preserving it for community use. Officials have not said how much the land is expected to cost. Also in the executive session, the Assembly spoke with attorney Bob Blasco about talks he's had with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad officials. What the attorney and White Pass talked about is unknown. Mayor Mark Schaefer said that information is protected by attorney-client privilege. There was almost no discussion about a limited marijuana cultivation business license that came before the Assembly. Two Skagway residents have applied for a permit with the State Marijuana Control Board. Their business, called Coyote and Toad's Garden, is to be located in Lyersville, an industrial-zoned area. The Assembly did not protest the license application. The Assembly held its third reading of the proposed borough budget, but ended up postponing adoption. Assemblyman Steve Burnham Jr. said before the budget is approved, he wants to examine how Skagway might cope with a loss of cruise passenger head tax funding. The legislature recently reversed a proposal to withhold $15 million in passenger taxes from the port communities the money usually goes to. Skagway is set to get about $4 million. But Burnham said even though the distribution of the money is included in the recent budget compromise, Skagway isn't out of the woods.
There are a lot of basic services that are funded with CPV, and were that to be gone, we would need to accommodate it somehow.
The governor hasn't signed off on the proposed state budget yet. But even if the passenger funds are safe this year, Assemblyman Morgan said they could be at risk in future years.
I think it's time to start looking as if that money may not be there in the future, and we do need to start coming up with quite possibly an alternate budget every year, because this battle, as long as oil prices remain low, I believe is going to be a battle every year in the state legislature.
The Assembly Finance Committee has a meeting Monday where alternatives to passenger tax funding will be discussed. The borough budget is set for another reading and adoption at the next Assembly meeting, June 16th. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.